To put the spotlights on the government's newly proposed data policy with Christophe Pinard. Joining us this evening to shine a spotlight on the government's newly proposed data policy, the draft national policy on data and cloud, is director and the national head of the technology, media and telecommunications practice at Cliff Dekker Hofmeyr, Christophe Pinard. Christophe, good evening and thank you so much for your time.
Good evening, and thank you for the opportunity.
No, it's an absolute pleasure. When was this policy on data and cloud released?
Comments was released, the policy document was released on the 1st of April, and comments was due yesterday,
okay.
The 18th of May.
And what are the major points around this data policy?
So as a starting point, the intention with the policy is definitely a noble one. In many African countries, there's a lack of infrastructure, there's a lack of access to data, to bandwidth, etc., and that hinders economic development because a lot of small businesses these days are started around the digital economy and interacting in a digital economy.
Yeah.
And also from a service delivery perspective, having national cloud data centers, etc., can make a huge difference to service delivery.
So how are they going to put this in practice?
So data centers owned by the state is not a new thing. China owns the biggest data center in the world, and the United States also have data centers in a number of states. Now, this document is purely a policy document at this stage, so it's almost like a statement of intention. It's a goal statement. So a lot of legislation and or amendments to existing statutory instruments are required to actually implement this. So it's still very far off.
So am I correct in understanding that government wants to have this sort of central data area where everyone basically stores their data in, and there are various conditions around how the data is stored?
Yes. So with any if data is placed under your control, that comes with a lot of responsibility. So the private sector and international players would look to government to ensure that cyber crimes are prosecuted, privacy is up to international standards, because it will be catastrophic if that kind of central database is unlawfully penetrated or hacked.
Yeah.
So the plan, as I understand it, is to have central government cloud facilities, cloud storage, and the focus is on open data. So it will basically be facilitating the free flow of data. It doesn't mean that data must be made available for free.
Okay.
And there's also a danger that localization rules of data might actually deter foreign investment.
So if there is a central data center, does this mean that we're moving towards a data-related SOE possibly down the line?
That would certainly be my guess, because I can't see maybe the Department of Communications can do this, but you probably need some private sector expertise. So outsourcing of it is also another model.
Are there concerns around privacy at all, Christophe?
There are major concerns, because with all this data sitting under your control, you carry a massive responsibility to make sure that data is safeguarded. It's to be seen what's going to be done there. because this whole policy or the whole intention behind it will fail if privacy cannot be guaranteed to be in line with best practice.
Although at the same time, you mentioned it earlier, EU, for example, have declared data a public entity. So I suppose in one sense, it could also be seen as a form of intellectual expropriation of property.
Well, there are no intellectual property rights vesting in data itself. The intellectual property rights vest in the data analytical tools, algorithms, the way data is applied, as well as in database designs. So what happened in the European Union is certain databases have been declared as critical databases during the COVID pandemic, so that government can access that data in the public interest to administer healthcare and to track people infected with the COVID virus.
The Department of Communications and Digital Technology states that the lack of proper policy guidelines with regard to data generation and storage could pose a threat to national security. Is this the case?
Well, I don't. I'm not aware of any national threats we are facing, but I certainly. Data can contribute to safeguarding citizens, protect against cyber attacks, leaking of confidential information, etc. So data can certainly play a role if one just looks at the United States and their security administration. They pretty much have access to everything. And they do use that to combat threats. I think the important point for in a South African context is that a lack of policy and a lack of clear guidelines and robust legislation is a deterrent. Because, for example, the European Union has got a safe country list for data exports. So they don't permit data exports to countries that doesn't guarantee a similar level of protection than they have.
Right.
So by increasing South Africa's legislation in that regard can certainly hold economic benefits, and it can actually stimulate the ICT sector.
Oh, absolutely. Are there any grey areas to this policy that you've been able to identify, Christoph?
They are. Quite a few. I think, just to start off with, as I mentioned earlier, the intention of this document is purely to be a framework policy. So, one of the major questions is like, how will this work in practice? And how will it be implemented? And by whom? And then also some of the terminology used is unclear as to what exactly is meant. So, for example, this whole open data policy, the open source software and shared public infrastructure has been around for a while. Open data, in my mind, refers to like the controlled sharing of data between databases using application program interface.
This is just a policy framework at this stage. Where to from here in terms of making it concrete?
So I would the starting point would be to appoint or designate a body, whether that be an SOE, whether that be an existing government department, to actually roll this out. That will be followed by a full scale procurement process, and then one needs to look at what pieces of legislation are affected in order to facilitate the implementation of this, and then in the last instance it needs to be rolled out and you know, there need to be a level of buy-in.
And I suppose also some synergy with existing legislation and existing best practices within the ICT sector?
Absolutely. So any measure like this will always exist within the current legal framework. You know, things like, the Copyright Act, the Protection of Personal Information Act, the Promotion of Access to Information Act. There's a whole raft of legislation. Electronic Communications Act and all will be affected by this, or amendments would be required to facilitate.
Notwithstanding the grey areas which you've highlighted, particularly how this will be implemented going forward, but as a starting point, you mentioned that it certainly is something beneficial for South Africa. And are we on the right track in having this particular debate and talking about this?
Well, I think economic stimulation is critically needed. And, if one looks at the past 20, 30 years, there's been a lot of private sector investment into ICT infrastructure, but not that much from the public sector. So, having that kind of infrastructure will certainly give us a bit of an edge and will actually give us a ticket into the race.
Yeah, absolutely. And then we need to participate in that race, so that spectrum thing needs to be sorted out as well, though.
Absolutely.
Christoph Pienaar, Director and the National Head of the Technology, Media and Telecommunications Practice at Cliff Dekker Hofmeyr. Appreciate your time, Christoph. Thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Thank you.